I just wonder what all he's forgotten. What all we ask him to forgive us for? All he's forgot all. Wow.
That's a real moment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wait. Good. Good singing. Good singing this morning. Good singing tonight. Good songs. It's good. All right. Let me ask anything you have to say. Give me a few thoughts tonight, just a few, and then we'll go right on. Appreciate all the scenery on the walls. And I asked Kathy to leave them up for a while, and she's going to take them down this week. But all of this has been right with the last month or so. We've been speaking about encouraging everybody to be a witness, and then with the youth rally and about being a bold witness and how that we must be a bold witness. We was given illustrations by Louie on how to and how not to. And you need to go back and watch that. Sometimes we do things right intentions in the wrong way. But it'd be worth you going back and watching that. Tonight I want to ask you a few questions. We get started. And, of course, you know there'll be pointed questions. But there'll be questions that you must answer, that I must answer, that these young men's going to have to answer, that the young girl's going to have to answer, that the old's going to have to answer. And I want us to think about this. And my heart is burdened for those who are unsaved. Now, I'm burdened for you. I do want to see you grow. I do. I want to see you grow and mature in the Lord and to be all you can be for the Lord. But my burden is for the unsaved. If you'll continue to come to church, if you be saved and you continue to come to church and come to Sunday school and come to preaching, come to Bible study 3 times a week, listen downstairs every chance you get, you'll grow. You read your Bible, you pray, you'll grow. It's a natural thing. The Word of God will help you to grow. You will grow. The only way you won't grow is if you refuse the Word of God. And then you won't grow. And so I'm not as concerned about us as I am those who are not saved, because they're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin, and if they die lost, then they'll go to hell. And that can't be fixed. That can't be fixed. And we need to make sure that we share the gospel. All right, anybody got a word? All right, let's pray together. Father, we come tonight as a church family. We come tonight as a church body. Lord, I come to you trying to make sure that I'm clean and I have your touch to teach, to preach, to give the message that you have given. And Lord, we come together to learn. We come together to be changed. And Lord, you've given us a great place. You give us a great church. You give us great people. And Lord, though we all failed, yet with you there's victory in everything. And Lord, we thank you for what you do inside of us and how you use us and help us, and how why you chose to use people is beyond me. But yet you've chose to use everybody in this building tonight. In some way, somehow, you're using us. And Lord, we want to bring you glory. Father, I'm asking you to search my mind, my heart. I don't want to be a hindrance, but I do want to be a help. And Lord, I pray that we might look simply at the Word of God, take your example, and go from this place being what you want us to be. Lord, cleanse me, cleanse every part of me, oh God, I'm asking, and touch me fresh, give me power, I pray. In Jesus' name, I ask all this, and amen. Let me ask you a couple questions tonight. And these you can answer out loud if you want to, the first couple, and then we'll tell you when not to answer. All right. And let me ask you, would you say, and you could be, you could say yes or no, would you say that getting saved has been the best thing, most important thing that's ever happened in your life?
Amen.
Could you agree to that? Could you say that?
Amen.
All right. Would you say that it's the best decision you ever made was to decide for Christ? Would you?
Yes.
Could you say that was the best? Well, would you say then that it would be the best decision and the most important thing for your family or for your friends or even your enemies? You believe that would be the best thing that anybody could do? Do you believe that? I believe that. I don't know that there's any greater decision that anybody can make other than trusting Christ as their Savior. I don't know of anything more important. Now, I'm all for people excelling in any area they're in. If they want to excel in sports, that's fine. If they want to excel in executive positions in work, that's fine. If they want to excel as a street sweeper, it don't matter. I mean, that's great. I'm for all of it. But the greatest thing anybody could be would be saved. That would be the greatest thing that anybody could be would be saved. The only thing that's changed my life completely is being saved. My relationship with the Lord Jesus is really the only thing. Now, getting married changed a lot of things about me. It did. Being a pastor has changed a lot of things. Being a preacher has changed. But nothing has changed me so positive as being saved. There's nothing negative about being saved. Think about that. The only decision you could make that there's never nothing negative over is being saved. No decision you can make about being saved would be negative. It's all positive. Now think about that. Now, do not answer these out loud. All right? How far would you go to get somebody to make the same decision you made? How far would you go? What would you do? How much would you do to see that your family, your friends, or your foes? How far would you go? What would you do to see that they made the same decision that you made? Now, you just told me it would be the best decision for them.
Right.
You just told me it would be the best decision you ever made. And you just agreed that it would be the best decision they could ever make. But what would you be willing to do yourself? You're the only one. You're the only one that can reach them. No one else can reach them. Your neighbors can't, none of the other family. Only you can reach them. What are you willing to do? Good question, then. Let's look in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We know that. We believe that to be true, do we not? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe I can say this in 100% surety, that the purpose of Christ's coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. From Genesis to Revelation, I read that that's why he cometh, that he might be adored as Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he is the Savior who bought us with his blood. I believe that is the purpose he came. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. How about Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. Very familiar scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 1. And verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is Jesus speaking. And he's speaking to the disciples. And he says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now let's look in Matthew, if we would. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now I'll give you just a few thoughts tonight, and then we'll ask you another question. Matthew 26. And we have Christ preparing to go to Calvary. He's done being in the upper room. He has done had the Last Supper. He's done washed the disciples' feet. Calvary is in his sights. He knows what's going to have to be done. He takes his disciples. He's done warned Peter that the devil's going to try to get him to deny him, that the devil desires to sift him as wheat. He's done warned Peter that before the rooster crows, he's going to deny him three times. All this has happened. Now they go into Gethsemane. They go into Gethsemane, and he wants them to watch him. That's what the Bible says. He wanted them to watch him. And he was going to be sorrowful. And he was getting ready to pray. But he was going to pray like he had never prayed before, because it was going to be time to take that bitter cup and drink that bitter cup of the dregs of sin of mankind. And he who knew no sin was going to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he was going to become sin for every man, not his sin. He was not going to become a sinner, but he was going to become sin for us, that he might pay the debt that was owed to God, that God might be satisfied and be pleased when he was bruised. For the first time, a perfect, holy God was going to know sin. He was going to know the separation of the Father. He was going to know the weight of every sin that mankind would ever have. Think about that. And he goes to Gethsemane. And here in verse 39 is where we want to take our starting point tonight. It says, "And he went a little further." Now, I'm not going to read no more than that, just that first phrase. "And he went a little further." Think about that. "And he went a little further." See, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he come. He come to die for our sins. But everything that he done, every miracle that he performed, every prayer that he prayed, every parable that he taught, everything that he done, it was all on the road to die for our sin. It was all that he might become sin for us. It was all that me and you might be saved. That was the purpose of the whole thing. Everything was done that me and you might spend eternity with him, with God in heaven, and we couldn't unless he did what he had to do. There was no way for us to go to be with God. There was no way for us to have eternal life. There was no way for us, for our sins to be justified. There was no way we was going to have a Savior, and that's why he come. So he went a little further. So he went to Gethsemane. That was the first thing he done. He went a little further and he went to Gethsemane. Can I tell you, there was nothing like the scene there in the garden. He told them to watch, and man is so sorry that they couldn't watch. They couldn't even watch an hour. As he went a little further than the rest of them and knelt down and prayed, and his sweat became as it was great drops of blood, as the weight of the world, the weight of mine and your sin laid upon the Savior, to the point that blood would actually gush out of the skin of his head, the pores of his head, the pores of his face, that he might be the sacrifice for me and you. He went a little further. See, could he have done it any other way? I don't know what he could have done. I knew he had to die. I knew he had to die on the Calvary. I knew he had to die as a sacrifice. But did he have to go that far? He went a little further. He went a little further than anybody else could ever go. He went a little further than anybody else could ever think of, just to see us saved. He went to Gethsemane. Think about that. He went alone, you might as well say, because the rest of them went to sleep. And he went a little further, asking him just to watch. I wonder what the scene was. The Bible don't say. It says that angels come and minister unto him. I wonder if they had been watching, would they have saw all that? Yeah. I wondered if they could have watched and saw the angels come and ministered unto him. As he prayed there in the garden, as the weight was on him and the blood was gushing out the pores, I wonder if they had seen that, would they had run when they come to arrest him. When they took him away, I wonder if they had run then. I wonder if Peter really would have denied him. I wonder if Judas would have betrayed him. I wonder what all would have happened to them disciples. I wonder if any of them would ever made a mistake if they had seen it. I wonder. But can I tell you, he went a little further. He went a little further than anybody. Think about that. He went a little further to Gethsemane, and they didn't stop there, for he went a little further. Are you understanding? He went a little further. Well, where did he go to next? Well, he went to Gabbatha. He went to Gethsemane. But if you turn over in John chapter 19, he went a little further. He went to Gabbatha. It wasn't enough that he went there in the garden under olive trees and knelt down on his face and prayed, and the blood burst out of his face and his sweat became as it was great drops of blood. It wasn't enough that he put the weight of the world on his shoulders. It wasn't enough that he became sin, but then he went to Gabbatha. There in John chapter 19, let's look at verse 13. It says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. This is after he'd done been scourged and judged and beaten and spit upon and a crown of thorns put on his face. He went a little further. I want you to understand something tonight. Our salvation didn't come cheap. It might be free to us, but it never come cheap. The greatest payment could ever be paid. He went to Gethsemane and there bore our sin. Can I tell you, he picked them up, put them in himself. First Peter says that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's what he did. And he went there to Gabbatha, to the judgment house. There was judged. Can you imagine the feeling that when he stands there and he stands Barabbas beside him, that everybody wants Barabbas and nobody wants him? Can you imagine the disappointment in the flesh? I mean, he was 100% God, but 100% in the flesh. Can you imagine loving everybody the way he loved them, doing everything for everybody the way he did, and they wanted Barabbas instead of him? Can you imagine that? He went a little further. He went a little further. But he didn't stop there. He went to Gethsemane. Think about that. He come as a babe. He grew up and was grown. And then he went to Gethsemane. And then he went to Gabbatha. Well, look here in verse 17 in John chapter 19. You see, and it says, and he bearing his cross went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. See, he didn't stop there at the scourging. He didn't stop yonder in the garden. He didn't stop there when he put the weight on him of our sin. He didn't stop there at the Gabbatha as they scourged him and beat him and his flesh hung and he put the robe on him and stood him beside Barabbas. He didn't stop there. He went on to Golgotha.
That's right.
He went on to Golgotha and laid his hands down on the cross. And he nailed his hands down and he put his feet together and nailed his feet together and hung the cross up and dropped it in the hole. And there he's still going a little further. He goes a little further all the time that me and you might be saved. Just that you and me might be saved tonight. The only reason he done it, he didn't do it just to please the Father. He done that we might have a eternity with the Father, and it pleased the Father because he done that. And when God looks upon me and you, he don't forgive us for our sake, but he forgives us for Christ's sake because he went a little further. Are you hearing me tonight? Everything he done, he went a little further. He went a little further. Think about it. He went yonder to the cross of Golgotha on Golgotha's hill. And they put the nails in them precious hands. Wasn't the little nails, but them spikes that they drove through. Put the spikes in the top of his feet on one another. There to bring that cross up and pound it in the hole and have his legs bent to where he would have to push up on the nails of his feet to get a breath, and where the pain would be so much that he would let down with his feet and the weight would be on his hands, and to get a breath he would be an up and down agony over and over and over till he couldn't take no more. He went a little further just to me and you might be saved. He went a little further. Just a little further, we might be saved. And there he died. There he died for our sin. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He went to Gethsemane. Became sin for us. Went to Gabbatha and was scourged that he might suffer. That by his stripes we could be healed. He went to Golgotha. That he might die in our place. That he might be the sacrifice for sin. That he might bleed and die like no man has ever done. Like no one has ever done. A little further all the way. And then he went to the grave. He went to the grave. We look in 19. We start at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, and as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. They put him in the grave.
Yeah.
He went a little further.
Yeah.
You understand it's God?
Yeah.
Do you understand it's God? Do you hear me tonight? Do you understand it was God?
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't a criminal.
Right.
He wasn't a normal person.
Right.
He was God.
Right.
And he went to Gethsemane. And he went a little further and went to Gethsemane. Went a little further and went to Gabbatha. Went a little further and went to Golgotha. Went a little further and went to the grave. Can you imagine God in the flesh being wrapped in the burying clothes, placed in a sepulcher where never man had been, and a rock being rolled over it? There in the grave, the cold and dark and dreary, and there God in the flesh is there. But he didn't just lay there. Where the Bible talks about him descending, leading captivity, captive captivity, taking the old saints out. Freeing. He was always busy, always going a little further. Always in victory. For very early in the morning, on the third day, on the first day of the week, after 3 days and three nights, he went a little further. For the stone was rolled away, and out there he come. But he didn't come out for you to see him. Are you hearing me? He come out to finish everything that was done. The sacrifice was finished on Calvary, but the blood had to be applied yonder in heaven that you and me might be saved. Are you listening to me tonight? Everything he done was a little further that me and you might be saved. Everything. But that ain't, he didn't stop there. He came out of the grave. He came out of the grave victorious. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over the foes, he arose victorious from a vast domain, and he lives forever with these saints to reign. He arose. He arose. But he didn't stop there. For there for several days he was with the disciples. But then I go back to Acts chapter 1. And he done something else. Can I tell you, he went a little further than anybody. He went to Gethsemane. He went a little further and went to Gabbatha. Went a little further and went to Golgotha. Went a little further and went to the grave. But he didn't stay there. He was God. And death had no holds on him. Satan didn't kill him. Satan didn't kill him. He said, I lay down my life, and if I lay it down, I have power to pick it up again. He was God. He was God, and the stone was rolled away, not for him to get out, but that we could look in and see he wasn't there anymore. And he went then from the grave to glory. For back in Acts chapter 1, now look at verse 9, it says, and when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He didn't stop at the grave. He came out of the grave, and he didn't stop there just walk around, but he went on to glory. Why did he go to glory? Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I can have Dennis quote it. He can quote you the whole first chapter. Well, let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look here at verse 3. Well, let's just go ahead and start at verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Can I tell you, he's sitting there tonight and he's making intercessions for me and you. He ain't never quit. He went a little further. Amen. And he's still going a little further for me and you. And our sins are many. And our sins ought to destroy us. And our disobedience ought to destroy us, and our rebellion ought to destroy us. But because of the blood of Christ, and because he went a little further, he's there making intercessions for me and you. And when the Father looks down, he can't see nothing but the blood of his Son, because the Son keeps it there in his face, and I'm justified freely because because of that tonight. And he went a little further. Just to see that I get to be with him. He kept going a little further. A little further. Now, he sees me as weak. He says, Mark, I saved you. But you don't even know how to pray. So he says, here's what I'll do. I'll just have my spirit make intercessions for you that you can't even utter. See, he keeps going a little further just that we might spend the eternity with him and be with him. All of that to see us so saved. You realize that? How far will you go? How far will you go to see a soul saved? What will you do to see a soul saved? Huh? What will you do? You say, well, I'm bashful. He went a little further. He went to Gethsemane. Went a little further. Went to Gabbatha. He went a little further. Went to Golgotha. He went a little further and went to the grave. He went a little further and went to glory. He went a little further there and through the gate and by the very throne of God, making intercessions for me and you. A little further, just to see us say, how far will you go? How far will you go? Will you go into the city? Will you go in town? Are you willing to go to town? Willing to go witness in town? How far we go? Will you go home and witness in your home? Will you go talk to your children tonight? How far will you go? He went a little further. He went a little further just to see us saved. How far will we go? How far will we go? Will you go talk to your children? Will you go talk to your grandchildren? Huh? Will you go home and talk to your spouse? Will you go home and get your brother, your sister on the phone? Or maybe you drive by their house on the way to your own. Will you stop in and just for a moment say, listen, I didn't come to keep you up or none. Just come to talk to you about Jesus because you need Jesus. How far will you go? Would you do it tonight or would you have to wait for a week or two? How far will you go? How far will you go? What will you pay? What sacrifice will you give? I'm asking you tonight as a church. When you see people every day and talk to people every day all over town, on your workplace, at your schoolhouse, on the job, at the store. How far will you go? For you shall be witnesses unto me in all Jerusalem. Wanted them to go to Jerusalem. Well, why Jerusalem? Well, that's where they crucified him. That's where they denied him. That's where they rejected him. That's where they hung him on the cross. That's where they hated him. He said, will you go to Jerusalem first? Will you? Last week and this week, there'll be Vista knocking on your doors from the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes. I would like to invite you to our memorial service of Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate his death. Get out of here. Get off my porch. Get out of my yard. God sends us lost people to our door every year. We don't go after them. So he sends them to our door every year. And we won't give them the gospel. Because we've been taught, you can't.
talk to them people. But that's a lie.
We won't go very far. So God says, well, I'll just send him to you. I'll just send him to you. And then, when that don't work, he puts you in a long line at the store. And somebody will bring up church. Or an oath. Or be, you can see they're having a bad day. And he said, all right, now here, I'm going to put you in an opportunity. So if you mention my name, it's going to open up a big conversation. But I'm in a hurry. I don't want to be here. Be on the job. And one of the men will get us off to the side and say, man, I'm having a hard time with my kid. Do you know, men, we know this for a fact, that men share more with other men on a job than they do with their wives at home. There's people that we've worked with that knows more about what goes on at the house than our family does. I don't know if you women do that or not. I just know how the men are. If you get you a buddy, you ride to work with somebody, they know your secrets, you know theirs. Is that not true? But yet, we'll wonder. I wonder if they're saved. I'm just asking tonight because I see our example went a little further. And I just wonder how far you'll go. See, you done told me that it was the greatest thing you've ever done. Was get saved. You done told me it was the greatest decision you'd ever made. You done told me that it would be the greatest decision your family could make. You done told me it would be the greatest decision your friends can make. You done told me it would be the greatest decision that even your enemies can make. You done told me there wouldn't be nothing more important than them making that decision. How far will you go to get them saved? How far will you go to get them saved? What if they're going to die? What if they're going to die Thursday? Your family's going to die. I want you to know that there's going to be a lost member in everybody's family right here tonight. There's going to be a lost member in your family die Thursday. How far will you go? Will you wait till Thursday? Will you wait till Thursday morning? Well, I'll make a call early. See, this ain't a game. We're left here to be a witness. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. I'm just asking. How far you'll go. See, I don't know. I'm not being condemning at all. I'm asking questions. That's all I'm doing. I'm just being, inquiring mind needs to know. See, I'm wondering tonight why he thought it so important to go a little further and go to Gethsemane. Go a little further to go to Gabbatha. Go a little further to go to Golgotha. Go a little further to go to the grave. Go a little further to go to glory. And I wonder how far we'll go. What are you going to do to get your family saved? What are you going to do to get your friends saved? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Wait Everybody here know who Adrian Rogers is? Hold your hand up if you know who Adrian Rogers, the preacher, is. How many here think he's a great preacher? Anybody here think he's a great preacher? Huh? Anybody here think he would probably tell us the truth? Huh? You know what? I was listening to a message. Let's listen to a 59-second clip. And he says, if you're not trying to win people to Christ, you're not right with God. How's that telling that to 5,000 people in the church house? That's pretty bold. 5,000 people sitting there. He said, all I can tell you, if you ain't trying to win people to Christ, you ain't right with God. He said, Andrew Murray. Anybody know who Andrew Murray is? Andrew Murray wrote works, books, great books on prayer. He was a massive man in prayer. You know what he said? There's only two types of people, soul winners and backsliders. That's what he said. There's only two types of people they are, soul winners and backsliders. I'm just here to ask you tonight, how far will you go? How far will you go? Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what he said. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Huh? How far will you go? Just you. Just you. Not your spouse, not your kid. How far will you go? Hey guys, y'all got any friends y'all want to say? Y'all tell me in there when we ask prayer requests. Y'all, you know, every one of y'all have requests of a lost person. Yeah. How far will y'all go? I heard a story this afternoon. I'm going to quit. Sure, you can go on the piano. I heard a story this afternoon about a young lady just here in the last few days was at some kind of pageant in the county, and I don't know exactly all the details of the pageant, but the question was asked her, what is the most important thing in your life? And she had to answer that question so they could introduce her like that in the pageant. It's just the last few days. And she said, my salvation is the most important thing. So when they called her name, and said, you come forward, said the most important thing in her life is her salvation. They had to announce that to everybody. Huh? This happened here, this there, sir. They asked her what the most important possession she had. She said, my Bible. So they said this, and they named her name and said, the most important thing in her life is her salvation, and the most important item she has is her Bible. Some of them had this and grandpa and grandma. But no, her most important thing was her salvation and her Bible. And said, well, what is the most important thing you like to do? And I like to go to church and youth group and be a part of the church. Had on a nice, modest dress, nothing fancy, but standing there, and they announced her name. And she said, make sure when you announce me. And she said, don't play no that rock and roll music when you announce me. They didn't want that. And the people was told to play Amazing Grace. I don't know if they did or not. But anyway, said, I want to be announced as this is my name. And the most important possession I have is my salvation. And the most important item I have is my Bible. And my most important activity is to go to church and youth group. That's more than most all of us ever say. And just a young girl. All I'm asking tonight, we had 10 lost people here this morning that I know. Now, I don't know people's hearts, you understand, but these are people that some I know because I'm going to save. I feel sure that there was 9 more. Actually, that wasn't the 10 I'd counted. But he wasn't in the 10 I counted. But how important is it? I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm trying to get you to see that he went a little further how far will you go to get your family saved? If we run out of time, they're talking about World War III. It's on the news. They're talking about World War III. Russia and Ukraine has not made no peace treaty yet. They're talking about World War III, and it's all over the world. It's in people's conversations. They're already starting to do away with they've done away with the penny. They're going to end up going to this, all the card for money. They want to do away with the FDIC in the banks. Are you paying attention what they're doing? Are you paying attention what's coming? That means Jesus is coming, and none of that's going to come to pass until Jesus comes. We're about out of time. Huh? You understand that Ezekiel 38 is not Armageddon. And Ezekiel 38 will take place just soon the rapture takes place. World War III will take place right after the rapture. And it's almost here. Are you listening to me tonight? What are you willing to do to get your people safe? How far will you go to make sure they're in? Father, speak to us. If necessary, shake us, pick us up, shake us, drop us on our head, whatever the need is. Lord, we got to be busy. Lord, you told us that when the Holy Ghost has come upon us that we would be witnesses. It's not that we might or we should, but we can be, we will be. God, help us tonight. Our people are lost. God, show us mercy. Give us another opportunity to get our people in. Lord, give us another opportunity to get them saved. God, we're running out of time. I don't know when you're coming. I know you're close. Oh, God, what are we going to do if they go to hell? Oh, God, I don't want to face you if they go to hell. Help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing tonight. You mind the Lord as He speaks to you. Maybe you need saved tonight.